from Egypt. But then after he got them out of Egypt, they was going through the wilderness, and they were supposed to go right straight to the promised land, right straight across, go into the promised land and be there just a few days and a few months. They would be in the promised land, but they rebelled against God. It's just like we do. So God marched them around the wilderness, and they all died except two, Caleb and Joshua. Now, it's estimated that over 2.5 million people came out of Egypt. 70 went in, and over 2.5 million people at 400 years later marched out of Egypt. And all of them was backsliders, every one of them but two. Can you imagine Moses preaching to that many people, and all of them was backslidden but two? All of them, they began to gripe, and they began to complain, and began to groan, and they began to moan until they all died in the wilderness. But you see, that didn't stop God. You see, the glory as he enthroned on the house. Now, God made a house for the nation of Israel, and it was called the tabernacle. It was a portable church, as you might say. And there was only one place in this world that the God of glory came down to little mankind living on this earth, that he would manifest himself and be in their presence. And only one place and only one nation that God chose, and that was the nation Israel. Not because that they was good, not because that they deserved it, because it was God said, I'll take that nation and I'll make them a great nation because of God. And God came down and enthroned in the house of worship in the tabernacle. And then whenever they got into the promised land in the temple. Now that's the only place that they could sacrifice to God. No other place in the world could the nation of Israel sacrifice, and the presence of God came down. And God was with them throughout the many, many years of the nation of Israel, but they complained and they groaned, they disobeyed God, they turned to other gods over and over and over and over and over and over again until God says, I've had it. And then you'll find out the glory and the exodus from the nation of Israel. God's glory left, and it shows, and I'll tell you these verses of Scripture, the nation of Israel, how God's glory left the nation of Israel. I believe that you can find out this day that is very similar to our nation today of the United States. How this country that God brought them out, brought us out in a very special way and planted us in this little old place called North America in the United States today. God planted us, and how that he was with the nation of Israel. I think he's been with the nation of the United States even more. And the problems that we have had throughout our little short history that we have as a nation, God has been with us in our emergencies while we've been in the wilderness of this country. And then God enthroned himself upon this country. This country, regardless of what the liberal says, I'm going to tell you, God been enthroned on this country. This country was founded, regardless of what they say, by God. God allowed the people to come to this country. But then we find the nation of Israel, and here's where it gets a little bit different. The nation of Israel, the glory of God departed from the nation of Israel. I do believe the glory of God has packed up his bags on the way out of the United States. You can believe what you want to, but I believe it's a short time. In a very short time, something is fixing to happen. It's going to happen, it's going to happen quick, and it's going to happen fast. We are very, very close to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've been watching the television, and there are more and more demand right now to get away from the American dollar, which is the world currency. And there, China's asking, and the European nations are asking, and the Russia are asking for a new world market currency. They're going to be a one world order of everything. It's coming, and they said it could be here in just a few short years. They need a one world military power. They're putting the world together now to have the United Nations or whatever else they might want to call it. It's a coming. They're going to have to be a one-world religion. I do believe it's going to be the Islamic religion. I don't know. I'm speculating there. I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is a coming. And our country, I believe the glory of God, and I'm not preaching down. I want to give you an uplifting message if I can. But I do believe, though, that the glory of God has packed his bags and on the way out of our country. I really do believe that. If we do not have a turning back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, revival of glory. God's glory is our manifestation of the very presence of God. Last Wednesday night, those of you who were here, I said, you just remember back how the glory was with this nation. How the glory has been with us all the time, and we did not recognize the great glory that we have had in this country. We did not recognize whenever I was young and going to school, we did not recognize that we could read the Bible and have a Bible story read to us by some of the young teachers in our classroom. We did not realize the great blessings that we could pray and over the loudspeaker, a prayer someone would pray over the loudspeakers back years ago. You could pledge allegiance to the flag. You could have something about God in just about every one of your classes if you wanted to. The Ten Commandments was on the wall and nobody said anything about it. There was no sports or school had anything to do when they would have a revival. It was unheard of that anybody would come and have ball on Sunday to take anything away from God's house and God's people. What has happened to America this day? Well, revival. Bill and Gloria Gaither, I know that they've wrote many songs, and a lot of you know a lot of their songs. Well, that reminds me of what's happened to our country then and also now. In 1960, Bill and Gloria Gaither lived down in Florida. And in 1960, it looked like they said that God had wrote X across the road of our cities and our country. They said it was a time of drug culture that just started in our country. It was a time when the God is dead movement was very alive in our country. It was a time of the Vietnam War. It was a time of hippie long hair and earrings to cloud up the issue between man and woman, and it's still here today. They had a dry spell, they said, in their life, and they had not written any songs for several months. They had two girls already in their family, and Gloria was expecting a child, and it was going to be a boy. Well, as they looked at this, and they looked at the time that they was living in, and they said, you know, this is just not no time to bring a little child into this world. And then God opened up their heart and their mind, and they wrote this song, Because He Lives. And he told them, you said, there never have been a good time in the world that you live in to bring up a child. It wasn't a good time when Moses was born, when they threw all the little boy children in the Nile River. It wasn't a good time whenever Jesus Christ was born and Herod tried to kill all the little boys from 2 years old and under. It never have been a good time to bring up children in this world. And I want you to think for just a moment now about your children. I want you to think about your grandchildren, maybe those expecting, like Brother Joe. Because the second stanza of this song, when they began to write this, they said, how sweet to hold our newborn baby, because that boy was born at this time. And to feel the pride and the joy he gives as they begin to hold their child. But then it says there's something else in that song. It says, but greater still, holding your child and holding your grandchildren in your arms and seeing the future that they have and how very gloom it looks in our country. And I can assure you by the power of the Word of God, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But for the child of God, it says, greater still, no matter what comes, the greater still is the calm assurance that this child that they hold in their hand, the child that you have and I have and our grandkids, can face uncertain days. And there are going to be some uncertain days, I can assure you, that are coming. But they can face this, they said, because Jesus lives. Whoo! He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that He holds the future and life is worth the living because He lives. No matter if the glory of God departs from this nation, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ still lives. And it is His resurrection And there's two great truths because Jesus Christ lived. And one of those truths is he lives and gives us the power that we may have life in him. And that child that you hold and that child grows up, it is a mother and father's responsibility to see that that child never misses a day at the house of God if possible. Because Jesus Christ lived, that God has the power to put Jesus Christ's life in them and then receive it on into glory. But the second thing is a resurrection. He lives, and his life is entangled with our life in a daily, daily living every day that Jesus Christ lives. But I'm going to tell you, it looks like to me that the glory has departed not just off our nation. But I'm going to tell you, many of our churches today, I'm going to tell you, I really do believe the glory has departed. And I know that there's many a family today that the glory has departed. Families that used to come to the house of the Lord regularly and make sure that their children come and serve Sunday school and Wednesday night and take part in the service of God. They're not here anymore. Something has badly gone wrong with our families today. I know, I hear it all the time, that somebody has hurt my feelings and I'm not coming back to church. It was the preacher or someone else. Well, I don't know about someone else, but I know that we're living in a church, and I'm going to tell you what, we're full of people, and people have sin, and we're not perfect, and I'm going to tell you, I'm liable to say something that you take the wrong way, and you're liable to say something to someone else, and someone's feeling going to get hurt. Mine have been hurt many times. But you're not going to stop me from serving the Lord, I'm going to tell you that. I come to this church for Jesus Christ and to worship him. I want you to help me. I need all the help that I can get. I know that ball games, and I'm not down on ball if it's in its right place and it don't take people away from the house of God. But I know that people go to ball games, and I know that I've seen them cuss, fight the referees, the umpire, the coaches, one another, hurt one another's feelings, get mad at the ones on the field, get mad, have a fit, talk about one another. You answer me this question. Have you ever heard anybody say, what happened at a ball game, I'm not never going to go back because somebody hurt my feelings? Have you ever heard anybody say that? At all the things goes on at all the ball games in the world, have you ever heard, I'm not getting my kids back, I'm not going there no more because somebody hurt my feelings at a ball game? But you let one little old word, and they might want to take it the wrong way, I ain't coming back. I'm going to tell you, there have been some families that need reviving. As far as the preacher's concerned, I know that me and Brother Marshall, we shoot down in a hole. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in that hole, you're liable to get hit. And I ain't preaching to nobody. But now people get mad if you tell them they ought to be in the house of the Lord, their feelings get hurt. There's something desperately wrong in people's attitude. There's something desperate wrong with their relationship with Jesus Christ. And one thing I do believe, they need revival. And I'm going to tell you, there's one person in this church, I believe I need reviving. Do you need reviving today? More than anybody else. Because you see, it's not you. It's not you. It's not you that gives me more problems than anybody else. It's me. Have y'all found that to be the truth? It's me, O Lord. And it's not my sister. It's not my brother. But it's me, O Lord. Well, the nation of Israel was going through a time, and I believe that we're going through in our country, in our lifetime, as I said, from our personal experience all the way up to our nation. I want to read these two verses of scriptures and hang with me because I know I'm not even going to get into my sermon if I don't hurry. The nation of Israel was at war with the Philistines. They had rebelled against God, and God's power was not with that nation any longer. And here's what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. And we find the word glory in verse 22. And she named the child Ichabod. Now that Ichabod means glory, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of the God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Let us pray. Father Jesus, Lord, how that we need revival across our nation. Father, we don't know, God, if you're going to come and, Lord, and glorify yourself across our nation. But Father, we know that you can come and glorify yourself in this church. We know that all churches won't be revived, but Father, we know that we can be revived here in this church. Father, we don't know if all families are going to be revived, but Father, we pray that every family that's here this hour can be, if they want to be revived, and put away and have the forgiveness in their heart, no matter what someone has said against them or for them or whatever they've been said and done, they may have forgiveness, oh God, and keep on serving you. Father, we just pray, God, in our personal life, each and every one of us, the glory of God would return. Then every one of us, that we might see Jesus and every person that's here. And Father, for the four saints of his service here this hour, we just pray, God, that someone would be saved, some lives would be changed in the hearts of your people. Father, we just pray, God, this day and all these blessings. Help me preach, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you the glory of God. Glory is mentioned over 400 times in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, any time that you find revival, you'll find glory. Glory, it means worth, or something's weight is worth something. And I'm going to tell you, the glory of God makes something worth something. The glory of God is outward manifestation of an inward reality, as Jesus was on the Mount Transfiguration. The inside of him became the outside of him. Glory is a manifestation of the presence of God among his people. Revival is experiencing of God's glory all over again. Psalm 85, verse 6. Will thou revive us again? He's talking about God's people, the psalmist, the nation of Israel, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival is not something that takes place among the lost. Revival is something that takes place among the living today. It can only happen to the saved. But I'd like for us to look back now at the glory at the United States and the glory of the nation Israel, a parallel, and show you what's happening today. I do believe again that we at the crossroad in the 60s, as the Gaithers wrote that song, yes, it looked like that we was at the crossroad, everything was going the wrong way, and I believe today that we're again at the crossroad today, that we've never ever been before this way. I believe we're closer today that God riding across this nation, Ichabod, than we have ever been before. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have to worry about the bombs of other countries. Our biggest threat today is not other nations. Our biggest threat is not the Islamic religion. Our biggest threat today is God Almighty himself. And we have forced God to do what God has got to do because he is a holy God. He is a holy God. We could pray today, bring back thy glory to our nation, to our church, to our families, and to our personal self this day. The background of this, we know of our country and also of the nation Israel, and they was in defeat. And I'm going to tell you, our nation is in defeat also, just like the nation of Israel. This verse is an account of defeat and a tragedy. The Philistines had attacked Israel, and they was beating Israel. And they needed some help from God. So they thought that they'd take the ark. You know what the ark was? The ark was a sacred box in the tabernacle and in the temple. It would have a gold layer upon it where God would meet with his people. It was there where the blood was sprinkled, and it represented God Almighty. We had come in the fullness in the clouds in that tabernacle and also in the temple. That was where God would meet with his people. God's glory would be manifest. So every Israel got that ark out of the tabernacle in the temple, and they said, if we can just get God in our midst, you know what, we will have victory. Well, they made a mistake, as we make mistakes today. They mistook the ark of God for the God of the ark. They mistook that. They mistook the symbol for the reality today. We need to understand that. Because it's not our buildings. I'm going to tell you how great they are. It's not all the programs that mankind can produce in all churches. It's not our effort that we try to muster up. There is no substitute for the presence of God. There's no substitute for the presence of God. Now, the ark was carried out there in a battle, and it was captured. Now, old Eli was a priest. He was an old man, about half blind. When he heard the ark of God was captured, what happened to him, he was on a little stool. As you read this, you'll find out in Samuel that he fell over and broke his neck, and he died right there. Well, old Eli had two very wicked sons. They was out in that same battle, and both of them got killed. One of those sons, the wife, was expecting a child to give birth any time. When she received word that her husband was dead, she gave birth to a child, and she named him Ichabod. The glory of God had departed. Israel's sin and the rebellion and disobedience, God's glory departed. God wrote across the nation Israel at that time, Ichabod, that God has departed. Now, there's one thing that's going to be very different between the United States of America and the nation of Israel. United States of America do not have any promise that God's going to resurrect this country again if it goes into captivity. The nation of Israel will always be God's chosen people. I was preaching through Matthew chapter 13, and there's seven parables in that chapter 13 of Matthew. I'd already preached four of them, and I was tending to bring this one today, this morning, until God changed my mind, and it's the nation of Israel. It is the fifth one, and it's talking about the buried treasure in a field, and a man found this treasure, and he went and hid it back again, and went and sold everything he had and bought the field. That is the nation of Israel. When I get a chance, I'll preach through that too. That God has not forgot his nation of Israel. Now for 1,500 years and longer at this time, they had had no glory of God. Before I get through, it's going to be even longer than that. They had no glory of God. It was over 600 years and no glory of God. 400 years, we find out last time in the book of Malachi, we find out that no word from God. The heavens were silent. No word from God. No prophecy from God. No word from God. It was 400 years until Jesus Christ. That was the glory. And a group of people was praying that the glory of God would return, and God returned in his son, Jesus Christ. We have no prophecy in the word of God that when if something happens to our country, that we will ever be resurrected as the nation Israel will be, because God said it would be. But we will not be resurrected. When this country goes, it will be gone forever. Forever, hear me. It will be no resurrection. And I'm just afraid that our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids will not have the great blessings that I was grown up with in this country. It's coming, and it's coming fast. It's coming. The Old Testament nation of Israel is a picture also of the United States. To start with, as I get into my message, we're fixing to close, I'm fixing to get into my message, we see the glory in the Exodus from Egypt. We see God's glory. As I said, the children of Israel now was down in Egypt, and God called them out, and they crossed the Red Sea. As the United States, God has called us, and we crossed the sea to get here at this country. And the Mayflower, to make a country that God could expect and God could really bless. They crossed the Red Sea. And it says in Exodus chapter 13, if you write these verses down, 21 and 22, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night before the people." The glory cloud. Psalms 105 and 39 says he spread a cloud for covering and fire to give them light for the day and for the night. There was two purposes for this cloud. One of it was for protection. The other was for direction. God had a covering for his nation. I'll lead you out, and I'm going to give you protection, and I want to give you direction. I believe that God has done the very same thing for this nation we live in today. He has given us protection, and he has given us direction. You think we are here today, and we are the greatest nation right now, falling fast, but we're still the greatest nation in the world. Why? You think it's because of our intellectual knowledge that we have? You think because of our great government we have? You think of our great military and our missiles today because we're great? No. We're great because God gave us this direction and God has protected us. You think in World War I and World War II because we was mighty. I'm going to tell you, the Japanese like to whip us. You know the reason they didn't whip us? It wasn't because of the atomic bomb, it was because of God himself. You can believe that if you want to. It don't make no difference to me, but God gave us protection. But both pictures of the presence of God, when God is in his rightful place, I'm going to tell you, we will experience protection and we will experience direction as a nation of Israel. And I'm going to tell you the same thing about your family and the same thing about this church. When we put God first, and I'm going to tell you, souls need to be saved. We put God first. He will give us our purpose for a reason that we're here, for protection, also direction. I'm going to tell you what, your family being bombarded by hell itself in every different ways, but God will give your family protection and direction the way that you need to go. You can't make decisions without God in the right way for your little one that you're bringing in this world. You can't make direction for your kids. I'm going to tell you what, you think God's making direction for people that's out doing things they ought not do today instead of serving God? No, God's not in it whatsoever. This picture tells us today what God's going to do. Both pictures, the presence of God whenever God's in his rightful place. I want you to think about that, Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me into the glory. We need the glory of God in our nation, church, family, and also in our personal lives. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, talking about you and me, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Do we think that we need that today? I want to tell you what we need to do. We need to pray for revival. If we ever need revival, we need to pray. I said in all four of these directions, our nation, our church, our family, our individual life today, we need to pray for revival and pray for the presence of God to be returned again in all four of these areas. And I said it may not be upon our nation, it may not be upon this church, but I'm going to tell you what, it may not even be upon your family, but it can be upon you and it can spread out. It needs to start somewhere. We need to pray for revival. But not only that, we need to plan for survival. If it don't happen, and if things keep going and God don't bless this country again, and if God packs his bags and moves out, we need to prepare and plan for survival. We need to get straight what we need to do for our children. We need to get them right because they need Jesus in their hearts and in their life. They need Jesus Christ first and foremost. We need a plan for survival because I'm going to tell you, it's going to come down. But because he lives, no matter what happens to this country, I'm going to tell you what, this country is not going to get us to heaven. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. No matter what happens, I'm going to tell you what, we need to plan for survival for your family, your kids, and even your kids that's not even born yet. We need to plan for them. And I tell you what, it ought to be for the fathers here this day. I'm going to tell you what, it is your responsibility, the fathers, whether you're here today or you're not here today, hear me. The word of God will not come back void. God expects the fathers to be the leader of the household and for them to be here in the house of God at an appointed time when God's people is meeting with them. I don't care what they're doing, they're not doing the right thing if they're not here this day. Oh, you hurt my feelings, preacher. Well, I'm sorry, get out of the hole. I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around. I'm going to tell you the truth, it's going to help you. Everything I tell you, I hope it's going to help you. We need a plan for survival, but I'm going to tell you what, not only that, we need to be looking for his return. I'm going to tell you the hope. I watch television probably too much of the news, the politicians, the two parties we have, the liberals. I want to tell you one thing, hope is not going to come from the White House. And hope's not going to come from the State House. And hope's not going to come from the schoolhouse. If they ain't hope, it's going to come from the church house. For our country, for our family, and for our nation. My people, we see the glory in the exit from Egypt. We see the glory in the emergencies in the wilderness. Yes, they had some emergencies. Do we have any emergencies? How about World War I, World War II, and other emergencies we have? How about we had the stock market crash? They called it depression days. I do not remember, but they was bad. Soup lines. I'm going to tell you, there were some bad things happening in our country we're living in, but we always made it. We always come forth. The World War I, World War II, Spanish-American War, and the things that's happened in this country that you and I are living in, and we always come forth, I'm going to tell you what, better than we was before. And why? It's not because of our intellectual knowledge. It's because of the protection and the guidance of Almighty God and the glory of God that you have what you have today. I've crossed over into another country called Mexico, and I saw those people's eyes and the sadness they have when they don't even have a beans in their country, don't even care about whether they starve to death or not. It'd be all right with them if they starve to death. And I crossed back over and I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm still in the country, that I can go and pick and choose anything I want to eat anytime I want to and anywhere I want to. What a great blessing it is. Oh, it's a great blessing. I'm going to tell you, we see the God and His glory and the mercies in the wilderness, the problems. God had no problem getting them out of Egypt, but He had a lot of problem getting Egypt out of them. I'm going to tell you what, you was in bondage and sin, every one of us. Every person in this building, if you're saved, you're in bondage of sin. If you was not saved, you're still in bondage of sin. You know, God didn't have to do anything. All He had to do is just allow the Spirit of God to work in your life, and He just, you know what, let the glory enter into your body, and you were saved by a new experience in Jesus Christ. But you see, God's work's not over with then, because every one of us, you know what's wrong with us? We still got a lot of the world in us, just like the nation of Israel did. There's so much worldly stuff and so much fleshly stuff in every one of us. I'm going to tell you, every one of us got some tendencies to pull back this old way of life. They said, how about the onions and how about the leeks? And we brought us out here to die in the wilderness. They want to go back to an old way of lifestyle. Let me tell you, there's some things, a lot of things happen to people. I know there's some people who've been on drugs, and there have been people on dope and alcohol and other things. Oh, what? How terrible it is. Somebody on drugs. Oh, somebody on drugs. Somebody on alcohol. I want to tell you what. You've got a tendency, every one of us that's saved here this morning, you've got some tendency to. It may not be drugs. It may not be alcohol, but I'm going to tell you, you got them. You got them. And they're not very pretty either. Might be a bad attitude. Might be a bad temper. It might be a gossiping tongue. It might be just stretch the truth a little bit. Might be backbiting. You know what? It might be, you know, telling what, I don't know what it is. I'm just naming a few, and I know I'm not going to name all of them, but you got them. You know why I know you got them? Because I got them. Every one of us. God got the glory in of us, but you see, He's had a hard time getting the world out of us. Just like the nation of Israel. Be careful if you see somebody say, oh, Lord, don't you look down on nobody. Because I'm going to tell you what, you could be in that same shape with something else worse than what they're doing. You better be very careful. This wilderness that we're talking about, Egypt, in bondage. Now they're out. They rebelled. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses. 2.5 million people, and all of us backslid, but two of them. Can you imagine Moses? And sometimes I complain. Am I always griping, complaining? 2.5 million people all the time griping, complaining about Moses. And every time they gripe and every time they complain, I'm going to tell you what, the glory cloud would show up. The glory cloud would show up. You know, they say, well, I'm hungry. Moses, you brought us out here to starve us to death, and the glory cloud to show up. You know what happened? And manna began to rain from heaven. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was just go down and pick it up, and it was satisfying. And then they was thirsty. Moses, oh, I'm so thirsty. You brought us out here. We're going to starve to death and bury us in the wilderness. Smite the rock, Moses, and water come out of a rock. Well, I'm tired of this manna all the time. We never have no flesh to eat. I want something to eat besides manna. I'm tired of manna all the time. Gripe. God flew in a bunch of quails, and they just went down and just ate a bunch of good old fried quails. Gripe. And I'll tell you what, you know why they gripe? Because of heart, they've grown cold towards God. And I'm going to tell you what, in our church, there's some gripers. I'm one of them. I gripe and I complain. We'll murmur this and murmur that. This ain't right, and they should do this and this, that, and that. You know what's wrong with griping complainers? Their heart's not right with God. Because whenever God would show up, the belly aching complaining, the gripers, you see, they would fall on their face. And I want to tell you right now, you might find fault of this church. You might find fault of some of your brothers and sisters. And you might say things you ought not to say, as I have. But I tell you, if you get right with God, you won't worry about griping and complaining. You'll get right with God. And I believe that's where revival will start. And then the enthronement in the temple. You know, whenever they built that temple, then the fire of God fell. And I'm going to tell you what, the glory of God fell. And that was the presence of God. And we won't even go into that, but we just skip that part. I want you to go on over and see when the glory exits out for just a moment. Now, you might want to write these down. It was very sad to see the glory that had parted. It's so sad today to see the glory that's departed off our nation. I believe I can see it. Ezekiel chapter 8 is a very, very gnawing book. Verse 3 and 4 said, and he told me, O Ezekiel, to put forth thy hand, and it took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens, and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gates, and looked towards the north, and he said, the seed of imagery of jealousy, which broke thee. He took Ezekiel up, and he showed Ezekiel in a vision what the nation of Israel was doing. They had imagery of another gods on their heart, and they were provoking God. God is looking in your heart this hour, and I can assure you today there are some of us, and maybe all of us, has got some imagery of some other type of God on the hearts of their life. Some people's got ball, sports on the hearts of their life. It says this Ashtaroth God, that's a pet God. Now this pet God, it's something, you know, that's respectful God. Well, because you see, there's nothing wrong with playing ball, are they? Buddy, I'll tell you, it's wrong when it takes the place of God's house. It's wrong. He said, well, I hurt my feelings. I don't think I'm going to come back. Well, you ain't coming to me, sir, ma'am. I'm telling you what, you're coming to God. I'm just out here a spokesman. I'm shooting down the hole. But here they showed Ezekiel what happened to the glory of God. It says in Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 4, and the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubims and stood over the threshold of the house. Now you see, in that little house called the Holy of Holies, there was two cherubims looking down on the mercy seat. And it says here that glory departed, and he got up off of that mercy seat where the cherubim was, and he flew out. They parted from the out there to the, stopped at the threshold of the door. And then it says there in verse 18, the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and went and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And they went out. Wheels were also beside them. Everyone stood by the door, and they went out to the east gate. It went out to the east gate. Fixing to go on out, it left the nation of Israel. And the glory of the Lord went out from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. He left the east gate and went out into the mountains and stood. Ichabod. Go over to 1 Samuel 7:2. It says, and it came to pass while the ark abode with Kadesh Jurim. The time was long. About 20 years had passed now. And the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They missed it. They missed the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, we don't miss the presence of the Lord upon our nation right now, but we're going to. You hear me? I'm going to tell you what, we're going to. We're going to miss some things. And it says, you know what, the house of Israel says, now, if you will return to the Lord, he says, that he'll forgive you. And it says, they went out and they had drawn some water and they poured it out. The nation of Israel did. You know what that means when you pour out the sacrifice, when you pour out this water, I take this water, I pour it outside, that means that you can never gather it up again. You pour this water outside, you can't get it no more, it's gone. That was what the pour out sacrifice was. And that means pour out everything that do not belong to God in your life, it'd never be regained again. As we come with a song of invitation, I'm sorry I went long this morning, but I'm telling you, I hope this message sets my heart straight. We're here today for one reason only, and that's to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If God has touched your heart, you want to come to this altar, and you want to pray, pray right where you at, but I want to tell you what, we need to pray. And we need to pray that God would return. I don't know, like I said, if it's going to return to this country. I don't know if it's going to return to this church or any other church, but our family. But I want to tell you, do you want your family revived again? Do you want your family? How about your personal life? It needs to start in me. It needs to start in me. As we stand and we sing this song, I hope God has put your heart this hour.